truth, there is no knowing.
Without the light,
there is no living.
I am
the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said.
Praise the Lord. Lord bless each one. Give everyone a warm welcome. And our service is not a wonderful song. I am the way. Not one of the ways, but the only way. Praise God. You may be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one. You know, there's a fellow I've been working with, and this particular fellow, nobody else wants to work with him. He drives a digger. He's actually really good on a digger, but nobody else wants to work with him. So I've been sent to work with him, and I love working with him. He's a raw big man. Rock worked with him years ago in England as well. And he's been asking me an awful lot of questions about the Bible, and he believes it. And he was telling me he got saved when he's a young fella. And his background, they're all brethren people. And these church, the Latter-day Saints, been writing them, sending them messages. So he gave me his phone to send them back a few messages and to stop contacting them. But I asked him a very simple question, and I would ask that the denominational Christians as well, see how they would answer it. Is Jesus in the Godhead, or is the Godhead in Jesus? Which one of them statements is right? My Bible says that God was in Christ. God was in Christ. The fullness is in Jesus Christ. He's not just our Son of God. He is a Son of God. He is a Son of David. But he's also God manifested in flesh. Because Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. It's the same God the whole time. And they don't believe that. They don't believe that. And I tell you, I don't believe he's just deity. I believe he's supreme deity. There's a difference in deity and supreme deity. And I thank the Lord this morning. God is so good, isn't he? Praise God. And this fellow's asking a lot of questions. And some people think, well, it'd be an awful hard job. Boy, he's a white big man. And he is, and he was. He's did a lot of things bad and all the rest of it. But the last time I read, the Bible says Christ died for sinners. He didn't die for the goody two-shoes fella or girl. There's a lot of people floating about with halos. And they're too good. They reckon they don't need saved. They're that good. And they're harder to get than somebody that knows they're a rascal. That know they're no good. And I'll tell you what, none of us was any good to them. But the Lord loved us, didn't he? Loved us. Even when we weren't serving him. That's a bit that just, I still can't get my head around it. When we didn't serve the Lord, he still loved us. And praise God. And I just pray that big lad, God will really get a hold of him. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to speak this morning on the spirit of Elijah. I think I mentioned before, well, it's quite a time I preached on it. And I've been praying a lot, should I preach on it? And I felt the Lord wanted me to preach on it. And in Matthew 24, I was studying this morning and redoing notes on this morning as well. And I'd like to take Matthew 24, but I need to take the full chapter of 24 and then 25. And there's so much in the chapter 24 and 25. It's all about now, the end time. False Christs, wars and rumors of wars and false prophets and all them things. But here's a thing which people miss with the spirit of Elijah coming. And that spirit of Elijah comes in the last church age before the coming of the Lord. Now, you've seen before, they're still here, some of them, if you want one, the book of Leon Long. Five times the spirit of Elijah. And that's five times in the Bible the spirit of Elijah comes. Now, I know a lot of people maybe don't know that, but I believe that. I believe it's scriptural. I believe it's true. And I want just to look at this morning and take my time. And I'm not saying I'm going to hold you as long, but I'll do a billy now. I'm going to do a billy now. It's now 25 past 12. My dad never changed the clock. And it didn't matter what car you're in, and he never changed the clock. And if you said to him, Dad, it's only near 11:30. Now you're talking nonsense. It's near 12:30. And it's actually near 12:30. And they talk about giving you an hour. They're not giving you an hour. They're taking an hour off you. Because tomorrow morning when you get up, you'll be getting up an hour later. It'll be daylight. But when you go to leave work tomorrow evening, it'll be dark when you're leaving. Where it's usually daylight when you're leaving. So I reckon myself it's pure nonsense moving clocks back and forth. That's my honest opinion. I don't know who invented it or why they do it, but it won't make any difference to us. We'll go along with it. But you'll be home the day for your dinner. Instead of one, it'll be, or two, it'll be one, but it's really two. And you gained an hour this morning, but here's the thing about it. You'll be tired of the night. That's the truth. Isn't it? Praise God. You're glad you're saved. God bless you. Let's read a scripture. And I believe that before the first coming and the second coming of Christ, the spirit of Elijah comes. Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6. And I haven't preached from that scripture. It's a long time. And I want to preach from it this morning and share. I wouldn't say maybe preaching, but I'm going to share and take my time and share. And just trust the Lord will really bless us and help us this morning with his word. Praise God. Let's just stand while we read. Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6, praise God. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So that's definitely not John the Baptist. The great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. That's one part. And the heart of the children to the fathers, that's another part. So there's two different parts. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Let's bow our heads. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord this morning. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy, for your grace, for your love, for your truth that you've shown toward us. Father, we look to you this morning. We need your help, your guidance, your inspiration. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll help us this morning. Sanctify this hall. Sanctify us. Wash every one of us afresh in the blood of the Lamb. Let the Holy Spirit come in and move. And I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help, my Lord. I need your help. And Father, pray you'll bind every work of the devil and only let us say the things that you want said, and may the Holy Spirit come unto us as a revealer of truth, as an interpreter of truth, and may we also discern between the right and the wrong, Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Father, for the hands raised, meet every single need in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, for those that are sick, will you touch them, Auntie Eiling, Andre, any others, Lord, touch them and heal them. My own wife and son, touch them and heal them in the name of Jesus Christ. Sharon and William this morning, and pray for all of them, you'll save them and deliver them. All the children represented in this house will claim every single son and daughter, husband and wife, aunt and uncle, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray, Lord, for those that had the work, bless them, strengthen them, meet their every need, Lord, bless the doctors and nurses. Those in authority, Lord, bless them, give them wisdom, bless Israel, your own people, and help us now as we look to you to rightly divide the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Now I believe the Holy Spirit, the great comforter, is the only one that can teach us and bring to us the word of God. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe there's promised the coming of the spirit of Elijah here to turn our hearts. Now, a lot of people talk about the spirit of Elijah at the end time coming on a group of people. But I don't see no Bible for that, but I do see the Bible for the spirit of Elijah coming on an individual. And I want to talk about that this morning before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. To turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the Father. So there's two turnings at separate times. In fact, there will be two ministries that will come in the spirit of Elijah. And this is the doctrine of Jesus himself. So if somebody says that boy McKinstry's preaching a William Branham doctrine or an end time movement doctrine, you can tell him he's preaching it from Jesus. That's where it come from. It didn't come from William Branham or an end time group. It come from the Lord Jesus Christ. William Branham just happened to be part of it. But it come from the Lord himself. This is a Bible doctrine. And I know there's people who will never preach this because they don't know it and they don't want to know it and they mock it. But if we're going to preach about the end time, and we're going to preach about being apostolic and being turned back, we cannot preach about being turned back if we do not accept these scriptures on the spirit of Elijah. Because this is an important scripture that the Lord gives in Matthew and Malachi. And you're saying the Lord himself, yes, Matthew 17:11 I'm referring to. I'm going to read it in a moment. I've quoted you from Malachi. But Jesus himself quotes that same scripture about the spirit of Elijah. Let's turn to Matthew 17, verse 11 to 13. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Alas, truly shall first come, and restore all things. Now John the Baptist, we're going to see how he came, but he didn't restore all things, but he did come in the spirit of Elijah. So the Lord is talking about the spirit of Elijah coming in two separate times. But I say unto you, Elijah has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise also the Son of Man shall suffer them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Amen? These serve to speak of two prophets in the spirit of Elijah. Verse 13, the disciples understood he spake of John. Here with verse 11 and 12 speak of two prophets in the spirit of Elijah. Actually, in verse 11, Jesus says, restore all things. John did not restore all things. If John the Baptist was to restore all things, now think of that for a moment. John is a forerunner to the Lord. He's a forerunner. Now remember, we're not glorifying John, and we're not glorifying any man that comes in the spirit of Elijah. We're glorifying the Lord Jesus. But the spirit of Elijah always points to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the one that comes in the spirit of Elijah, if somebody's preaching about it and they're pointing to that man, you know they're false. Because that spirit will always point to the Lord Jesus Christ. It will glorify Jesus because it's the spirit of Elijah. And it will always point to Jesus and glorify Jesus. Praise God. But he spoke of the two coming to the spirit of Elijah. And you know, if John was to restore all things, John would have had to restore them back to the Jewish law. But John did not restore them back to the Jewish law. John pointed them to the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. That's what John pointed them to. Now hold for a moment. Then there's another coming of the spirit of Elijah. And John pointed the people then forward to coming to the Lord. But the spirit of Elijah in our time, in the last church age, points the children, that's me and you, back to the apostolic fathers. John pointed forward, but this ministry points back to the apostolic fathers. That's Pentecost. You cannot be pointed back to the apostolic if you do not believe in Pentecost. And the spirit of Elijah in the last church age points us back to the apostolic, believes in the apostolic, and we believe it. And it points back to it. And also, that's the time when Revelation 10:7 comes into play. When God reveals all the mysteries of the Bible. Because it says he restores all things. That's the words of Jesus. When the coming of the spirit of Elijah, this coming happens. And there's two comings. I'm going to talk about them both. And it's going to take time to do it. But I'm going to do it. And I felt really strong to do it. Led to do it. And I've been in the room this morning. Praying. You say, Brother Tom, is this important? I believe it is. We don't know where we're at in some things without it. People that go here, there, and yonder, they don't know where they're at. But there has to be a plummet line of truth. Like when you're driving on that road out there, there's a line, there's white lines, that's the middle of the road, and there's cat's eyes, that's the middle. And you know where you are when you're following that line. And God has a line through the whole Bible. It's a red scarlet line. Blood of Jesus. God gives us truth. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. So is the word of the Lord. Let me read you this from Question and Answers. The Holy Spirit wrote this for the prophet. He said he will turn the hearts of the fathers first to the children. That was John's first coming. He will turn the hearts of the fathers, the old patriarchal fathers, to the message of the children, which was the new generation, Jesus and that generation, then a conjunction, trying to gather the hearts of the children back to the fathers, which means the message of the day will turn the hearts of the children in the church age back to the original Pentecostal faith at the beginning. So God in the last church age, we're in it. This is the seventh and last church age. There will be a rapture take place at the end of this church age. I don't know when it is. We're near it. We're near it. We're in it. In the last age, there's a rapture of the church to take place. But we are promised the coming of the Spirit of Elijah to that last church age to turn our hearts. That's the Bible. And I believe it. The same Spirit of Elijah. But two separate comings of that Spirit on John the Baptist, then in this last church age, man like John the Baptist. It won't be John, but it'll be on a man. Now you remember, and we're going to identify this morning that it was John, that the Spirit of Elijah was on. Then we're going to identify it on another man in this church age we're in. But the Bible doesn't say John, it says the Spirit of Elijah, but Jesus then comes and said, if you can receive it, it was John. So if I tell you a man, if you can receive it, it was him. But it's only if you can receive it. But a lot of people can't receive it. And when Jesus told them it's John, they couldn't receive it then either. And they certainly done John no favors to chop his head off. Amen. Now you look at Matthew 17 verse 11 again. Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. John did not restore anything. Keep that in mind. But one of these promised comings of the Spirit of Elijah's will and did. To clarify concerning Elijah and Elias, Elias is the Greek form of the name Elijah. It's the Greek form of the name. Meaning Jehovah is God, or alternatively, my God is Jehovah. This helps us to understand the transposing of the name Elijah and Elias, how they're used in the Bible. But this morning we're not talking specifically about Elijah the Tishbite. We are talking about the spirit of Elijah. There was Elijah the Tishbite in the Old Testament. Then there was Elisha. And we know Elisha was in the same spirit of Elijah. And then John the Baptist here is in the same spirit of Elijah. Then there has to be a Gentile church age messenger come again in the same spirit of Elijah. But we're not finished yet. But then we saw it. Moses and Elijah himself transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration before the Lord. And we know that Moses and Elijah comes back to the Jews. Five times the spirit of Elijah comes. Five times. And when Moses and Elijah comes back to the Jews, they're going to be sealed. Sealed. By the same seal that we get sealed with. What are we sealed with? The Holy Spirit. Now a lot of people get off on that. And they talk about a different gospel and all them things. I don't believe that's the same one. Amen. Look at verse 12 of Matthew 17. Jesus, the Son of God, when he was here with his disciples on earth, said, but I say unto you, Elias has come already, and they knew him not. So in verse 11, he said, Elias will come and restore all things. In verse 12, then he said, Elias has come already, and they knew him not. But have done unto him whatsoever they listed, likewise also the Son of Man suffered their hands. Jesus was saying to the disciples that the people failed to recognize or to understand. Or could you say it like this? They had no revelation of who John was. They had no revelation of who he was. And there's a lot of people today when God did something, they have no revelation of it. And they won't have unless God gives them it. Now, that's not a point for you to beat people over the head with a Bible stick. Oh, you can't see it and I see it. I don't believe that's the right thing to do, because none of us can see a thing unless God shows us. Amen. But you see, they failed to see John. They had no revelation that John the Baptist had come in the spirit of Elijah. Look at what the angel of the Lord told Zacharias, that Elizabeth would bear a son and he would be called John. Luke 1, verse 13 and 17. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for that prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and I shall call his name John." Verse 17. "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias." Who? John. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the disobedient to the wisdom and the just. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So this is the doctrine of the Lord Jesus. So for somebody to say in the 20th century, William Branham made this up, that is a lie. He never made it up. It's the Bible. It's in the Bible. He happens to be a part of it. John happened to be a part of it. You and me happen to be a part of it. Because we're a group of people that believe God has turned our hearts. Now I know there's a lot of people going away from what's called the message. And I know there's a lot of rubbish around it. I'm the first one to tell you that's the truth. There's pure nonsense preached in pulpits. But it does not change the fact of what God's done. And it does not change the fact of the truth of the Bible. And because some have went on an extreme, doesn't mean we have to. We cannot throw out a truth. Like the baby with the bathwater, you keep the baby and throw the water out, don't you? And God's given us a truth. We need to hold it and preach it and believe it. Because it's a heart turning. Aren't you glad your heart's turned? You could be... People say, why do I not belong to some denomination? I could go through, join a denomination this morning, and me and Sharon could have a nice big house, free oil, free house, everything, all you want. But I'd have to go by their rules. I would not be allowed to preach what I'm preaching here. I would have to preach the Trinity. I would have to baptize you in a Roman Catholic baptism in three titles. I would have to do things that my conscience before God would not allow me to do. Then what would I do with when an angel of the Lord comes to you and says, "Depart, separate"? What are you going to do with that then? As well, on top of all that, how's your conscience work with that? Knowing where you were and where God brought you from. You had to stick with the truth. And there's a lot that don't want to stick with the truth. And they know the truth, they don't want the truth. But nevertheless, it's the truth. And you can't compromise something and make it out to be something it's not. White's white and black's white, and that's the end of it. Amen. But we should rejoice that we know the truth. And the Lord's called us out. Because you see, there's a group of people that's going to be raptured. Let's not forget this morning. Not every group is going on the rapture. Only those that are filled and sealed with the Holy Spirit are going to go. And I'll tell you, that's why we need the truth. Praise God. See, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Luke 17, 11. Who are the fathers? Those who worship God under Moses' law. And their hearts were sincere towards God, keeping the law of God, but not knowing the grace of God through Jesus Christ. John was coming to turn their hearts. John was coming to tell them old patriarchs and those in his day and his time, look, Jesus Christ is coming. You're not going to need these things no more. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world is here. It was bringing in the New Testament, the New Covenant. It was bringing it in. John was forerunning it. John was coming with the message. John was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb even before he was born. John was special, I'll tell you that right now. Chosen of God and ordained of God. And he had a message from God. And he was coming with it. And I'll tell you what, they cut his head off, you know. See, the Old Testament fathers received John the Baptist as a voice crying in the wilderness. Isaiah 40, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight the desert a highway for our God. The ministry of John the Baptist is confirmed as a voice crying in the wilderness. In all four Gospels, it's confirmed. There's a voice crying in the wilderness. I won't read them all for time, but you can mark them down. Matthew 3 and 3. Mark 1, 3. Luke 3, 4. John 1:23. Let me read you John 1:23. And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Isn't it amazing how he's quoting Isaiah? Because it's a heart, the spirit of Elijah is a heart-turning spirit. And it'll bring you into a place called Street Street. And John even preached straight and mixed the path straight. And I tell you, we want to be on the straight path, no crooked path. I tell you, brothers and sisters, there's some doctrinal things we shouldn't be having a debate on. We should be old enough to know the truth. That some things are not in the Bible and some things are in the Bible. And why should we compromise? I know, but you'll win. You'll make no difference to nobody. Whoever's going to come is going to come. I'm doing this for over 30 years, and I'll tell you that's the truth. You can cart people and carry them and pop their head and give them a wee dummy tick and all that stuff there. But if they're going to live for God, they'll live for Him. And give them a watered-down message, it'll make no good of them. It'll do more harm than good. Give them the truth from the start. Give them it straight. And I tell you, that's the way it needs to be preached. This was also confirmed by the Lord Jesus Christ. As he was speaking to John's disciple when John was imprisoned in Matthew 11, verse 2, verse 13 to 14. Look what he says. When John had heard, when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent the two disciples. Verse 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was to come. If ye will receive it, this is Elias. So the Lord Jesus Christ is showing the people that's with him, the disciples. John's not just John. He is John. His name is John. But he has come in the spirit of Elias. And he's come for a purpose and he's come for a reason. The coming of John is a fulfillment of prophetic scripture. And just as the coming of John is a fulfillment of prophetic scripture, there will be Elijah come in our time to fulfill prophetic scripture. And as Jesus showed the disciples then, it's only Jesus can show us now who he is. And if he doesn't show us, I can't show you, nobody else can show you. John the Baptist was a wilderness man, uneducated, but called and predestined to be a prophet from his mother's womb. And came in the spirit of Elijah, Isaiah 40 verse 3, which we've read. Luke 1:17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias. And turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the disobedient and the wisdom to the just. We know holy men of God speak as ever moved by the Holy Ghost. We know that. 2 Peter 1:21. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I tell you, Malachi's written this inspired by God, speaking of John, Jesus, all these things by the Holy Spirit. And John was a prophet. He was a prophet. And he was inspired of the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto them, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, and things the angels desire to look into. And I tell you, the real gospel came to us preached by the Holy Ghost. Amen. It didn't come from some broken cistern. It came preached by the Holy Ghost. And you know the spirit of Elijah turns your heart back. It's turning you back to the original way, the original message, the original Pentecostal power with the original Pentecostal blessing. Hallelujah. And we want it. I want it. Prophet, while he's a man called and ordained to God, has to be redeemed with the price of blood of Jesus. We know that. But he is called to be a voice that God would use to speak to God's people. And I tell you, the Bible is clear. Believe my prophets, so shall ye prosper. If you notice, John the Baptist's ministry of repentance didn't restore anything. John's ministry was to prepare people for the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The first coming when he came to his ministry as Savior, John prepared the people for that coming. John the Baptist's ministry to prayer, the Old Testament fathers received Jesus Christ. He came to be the Savior of the world. And you know when Christ came, and you know when Christ was crucified and the veil was rent, God was saying in the temple, that's it over, lads. That's the sacrifice is finished. This is a once for all. A once for all. I'll tell you what, listen, brothers. I was studying on a little bit of Wells Hardy at some time, and I was got in there in the office and waiting on the Lord, and I was thinking about I was going to call him Pope Charlie. Maybe that is his right name, Pope Charlie. Don't you tell me if there was fact for him. I've none of it. I'd clean out. I'll tell you that right now. But I was come back in there, and I'm going to tell you now. I went right into the Reformers, and I got different books out and stuff out. And he's trying to undo what them Reformers doing. Now you think of that. He should be sacked out of the position he's in. And Protestantism's not just a name. Oh, I'm a Protestant. Protestantism's a real truth. And if you're born again, you're a Protestant. You're a Protestant. And I'll tell you, the Reformation's still real. And you see, when you go in Swingley and all them different men, there's so many of them, the Roman Catholic Church was fighting people, was murdering people, was killing people because they read the Bible. And them men had a vision that everybody could have the Word of God. But the Pope of Rome and his priestcraft wanted to have the people, you know, re-offering Jesus in the Mass, re-offering him. And I'll tell you, it's blasphemy. But look, brothers, I hadn't got time. I was going to preach on it. And I had so many thoughts and everything, but I had to ask the Lord to really help me and get me on the line he wanted me, whatever, to preach. But I felt on this. But I'm going to preach not others well, but I need time to go into it properly. And let me tell you another thing this morning. I'm going to tell you that you see lodges, joining lodges and secret societies is from the pit of hell. And I don't care what secret is. Secrets and all them things, that's the devil's work. Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the light. Amen. We're not called into darkness, we're called into light. But I haven't got time on that this morning either. But I'll tell you, I was going through it yesterday, I was looking at it. And there's so many people involved in things, and it's secret this and secret that. But I'll tell you what, God knows every heart. You can have all the secrets you want, but God can unfold it in 1 second and reveal it. Isn't that the truth? Look at Matthew, and I don't want to get sidetracked about it, probably I have, forgive me, but Matthew verse 8 to 12. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our fathers. For I say unto you that God is able to these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you unto repentance. This is John's message. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, as fire is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. John's preaching the coming of the Lord. John's not just preaching. He's not preaching the rapture here. He's preaching beyond that. He's preaching when the goats and sheep are separated. He's preached about the wheat and the chaff and separated. And a judgment coming. Amen. And I tell you, John's preaching it. And John's preached them and said, if good Abraham, that's good. And if these things, that's good. But the Lord's here. The Lord's here. And you need to look to the Lord. John the Baptist, he preached repentance. Prepare you the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Luke 3:4. People don't want to preach repentance today. They preach about doing good. They preach about this. They preach about that. Now I'm going to say something about a denomination in the town here. Hope you're not offended. But I drove past it and I thought to myself, they have a nice wee name. I won't say it, you know it. It's in a certain big building in the town. I praise God, sir, don't get me wrong. But there's not one scripture up on it. They're afraid to do it. Amen. Afraid to do it. Tell you it right now. That was an old brother in an Elam assembly, one or the other, that have a scripture in the windows. That's the truth. A placard from John 3:16 or some scripture.
so the news combined could see it and get some good conviction. But they're afraid to do it because they're not stopping nobody's toes. And they're trying to mix with the world and mix the church. I'll tell you, it won't work. Amen. And I don't care if a thousand's going to. Something's not right. Something's not right. Why should you be afraid of the real truth? And disco lights going and all that garbage. I'll tell you something, brothers, that's the truth. Come out of it. Be ye separate. And I have friends, and they go down there, and I appreciate them and all that. But one of them I was talking to not long back, and he wasn't reading his Bible, he wasn't doing this, he wasn't. He's just getting fed, that's why. How would you be getting fed? Because then my light's flashing. And some old doll up at the front. Let's tell the truth this morning, all about it. And the heck of some old doll up the front, and she's a pastor and she's a woman. Don't come with that nonsense to me. I'll tell you, there's no such thing in the Bible. Nowhere did Jesus ordain women to be pastors. That's pure nonsense. It's not scriptural. They can operate gifts, but they're not ordained to be no pastors. I don't believe it. And I know it'll offend people, but they'll have to be offended. I'm sorry. It'll be a case of John laying the axe out. That's the truth. But people will compromise. And you watch most of them hard works. I won't even say all what I could say. I better not say it. John the Baptist's ministry didn't restore. But John was restored back to the Old Testament. You know that, the law, and he didn't do that. But he introduced the Lamb of God. That's what he done. The Son of God by the Holy Spirit revelation. Have you noticed in the Bible, John was witnessing before Jesus came into his ministry. You understand what I mean by that? I know Jesus done things, but the Bible says his ministry began at 30. We all can agree on that. 3.5 years. So John before that was already on the go. Amen? Let's look at it. John 1, verse 29 to 34. The next day John saith Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There's it there. That's who we're pointing to.
Amen.
That's it. We're pointing to him. We're not pointing with our organization. See that there? Throw it over the hedge. Our organization. Not interested. What the Bible say. Verse 30. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is prepared before me. John gives him his place. I'll tell you something. I don't care what group comes after it. And if they want to raise John above Jesus, John himself wouldn't have it. And we've seen the same thing in our generation. People want to raise the prophet above the Lord himself. It's absolutely false. You can't do it. It's the Lord Jesus' head. Amen. It's not the truth. Before me, verse 31, And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, remained on him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, the same as he that baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this was the Son of God. And Jesus was baptized to John. And why was Jesus baptized to John? People say, you'll get a smart aleck saying, I don't need to be baptized. I've called the Lord and I'm saved. And I don't see any reason why I get baptized. Well, Jesus Christ was the Word in flesh. Jesus Christ was the Word. And John says, here, hold on a minute, I can't baptize you. And Jesus says, hold you on a minute, John. We must fulfill all scripture. We must fulfill all righteousness. And John baptized him. And if John baptized Jesus, I pity any of us if we think we don't need baptized. Surely we need baptized. And we need baptized according to Acts 2:38 in the name of Jesus Christ. False immersion. Amen. Showing that you're dead. I'm coming out of the water, resurrected, life, death, resurrection. Amen.
Amen.
And these are the truths that we're turned back to. We believe it was there. But a lot of people didn't want it. But God's brought it back. It was always there. And when I say brought it back, it's the restoration. That's part of the restoration. Now, when you go back to the question that the disciples asked Jesus immediately after the Mount Transfiguration experience, when Jesus was transfigured before them, Peter, James, and John. Let's go back and read it for a moment.
Now I'm going to have to keep to the subject at hand here. I'm getting sidetracked too many times. Forgive me. Verse 1 of Matthew 17. I want to thank Sister Carl this morning for coming out in the hall and put the water and everything out. Big Dave and a few helpers. God bless you. And after 6 days, Jesus take Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into the high mountain apart and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. Behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Ain't that something? Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, the cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. So even though God sent John, and even though God sent a messenger in our day, and even though we know Moses and Elijah's coming, we are still to see no man, only Jesus. We are not to build no tabernacle for John, or for William Branham, or for Moses, or for Elijah, for any prophet, though there were prophets, though there were men of God, we're to see Jesus. The only thing we're building is one church. Hear me this morning. There's lots of little groups here, there, and yonder, and there's good people in them all, eagles in many of them. But there's one church. How do you get into it? You're baptized into it. You're baptized into it by the Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit, you're baptized into one body. Amen. And they came down the mountain. Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say they, the scribes, Elias shall first come? Verse 11. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Elias truly shall first come, and restore all things. We've read these scriptures. There was a transfiguration before it happens. Then the Lord speaks to them. Wouldn't that have been something? Transfigured. Now, there's a fella, I don't know where it was, or whether it's reading or whether it heard it, but he said, You cannot preach the rapture from the Old Testament. And I said to myself, I'd love to get talking to you, because I can. I can tell you now you can preach it from the Old Testament. And the first place you'll go to is Enoch. And you'll see that Enoch was the seventh from Adam, and he was not. God took him. He disappeared. So he was caught up. And if you don't want to use the word rapture, caught up, God took him. He was God anyhow. And we believe in the catching up, don't we? Amen. And then, you know, look at Abraham. Abraham and Isaac, Abraham and Sarah is a perfect example of the coming of the Lord and the body change, where they were changed back to young people so that the promise could happen, so that the Son could come. And we're going to be changed back when the Son comes for us, and we're going to be caught up. So it's full of, that's only a few, I can't go into it all this morning, there's loads of places in it. Notice that, although Elijah's ministry had been approximately 900 years, and Moses 1,500 years before the birth of Jesus, yet both Moses and Elijah were talking to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, as referred in Matthew 17, 1-13. There they were, before Jesus even came on the scene. They were hundreds of years before it. Now, when somebody says there's nothing after death, well, here's these two men. And they're standing with the Lord. And I tell you, they're somewhere. Amen. And you know when Jesus Christ emptied Abraham's bosom? But this is even before he emptied Abraham's bosom. Are you following me now for a moment? And then also understand this, that Elijah never died. That Elijah was caught up in the chariots of fire. And somebody said there's no horses in heaven. Well, there was horses and chariots come for Elijah. And they were flaming as well. And his mantle fell off and Elijah got it. Brother Larry preached it the other week. The power of God was all over. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
And there's Moses. And God said to Moses, you've done this and this, and you shouldn't have done it just like that. Go up the mountain and die. And God fired him. And you know, when the angel of the Lord was disputing with Satan, and he durst not bring a really an accusation against him, he said, the Lord rebuke thee. It was God that buried Moses. Now, where did he bury him? I don't know. And people can say this or that, but God done it. But I'll tell you, God had him packed away some road. He had him somewhere. But I'll tell you one thing. I know one thing. I don't know where exactly he was away and all that. He was somewhere with the Lord, but he was here in this Mount Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah were there. And I tell you, your loved ones are saved and born again. They're in the glory this morning. And they're as real as ever were. I'll tell you that right now. They're every bit as real. I tell you, that's why that's the Spirit of God that's in us. Praise God. Peter and John were there, and they heard the conversation between Moses and Elijah and the Lord. And they're having a conversation. This is why I believe it's Moses and Elijah coming back to Israel, not Enoch. I believe it's Moses and Elijah. Do you know why I believe it? Because the prophet said it. That's one reason. But here's another reason. Because one had power to call fire down from heaven, and another one had power to close the heavens. And both of Moses and Elijah did them things. Because Elijah prayed and it never rained. For a long time, then he prayed and it rained. And Moses had the power of God to do all sorts of things, you know, in Egypt. When you've seen all them plagues coming in Egypt, God gave them the power to do it. And he never lost it. How do you know Moses and Elijah never lost the power? Here's one for you. Because gifts and calling are a thank you, Patton. Whatever gifting Moses and Elijah had when they were here, they still have it. And when God gives you a gift, you still have it. You don't get rid of it, you still have it. You might need to stir it up. You might need to stir it up, but you still have it. And even when you're not living right, you still have it, because it's not down to you. He gives you it and he doesn't take it away. And we're not saved on how well we've lived. We're saved on what Christ done for us on the cross. But we want to live right. Because we love him, because he first loved us. You see these verses. We know that likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer them. And come to pass that John suffered them, they killed him. At Calvary, and Jesus Christ suffered and died for the sins of the world, and he rose again. Verse 13 of Matthew 17, the disciples understood that he spake to them of John the Baptist. Remember, Elijah and Elias means my God's Jehovah, Jehovah being interpreted. The first prophet in the New Testament and the spirit of Elijah was there for John the Baptist. Ever as testified, confirmed by the Lord himself. That was him. John's ministry was to turn the heart of the Old Testament fathers under Moses to the law to become the children of God. And you know these scriptures. I'm not going to keep going on. But let me just tell you this bit. And you think of Malachi 4 and 6. To be born again children of God. Passing through Calvary. That was coming. That was what was coming. John was bringing them to the Lord in a baptism. Now, here's another one as well. There's so many thoughts, but the people that was baptized under John's baptism were rebaptized. Amen? After Jesus Christ rose again, when you come to Pentecost and into the book of Acts, how they were baptized, they said, under John's baptism. And they rebaptized them. Because they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Because the Lord was coming. They repented and the Lord was coming. But Calvary hadn't happened at that point. But after Calvary happened, it was no longer baptizing under the Lord coming. The Lord had come. He'd now the Savior of the world. He died for the sins of the world. They had to be rebaptized. How did they rebaptize him? In titles? No. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how they've done it. Acts 2:38. Every word through the book of Acts. See, Jesus Christ gave us lifeblood for the sins of the world. Now, listen to this for a moment. And I'm almost finished. On the 40th day from the resurrection, he was received up into heaven. Acts 1, verse 8 to 11. 10 days later, the Lord Jesus came back of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. That is 50 days from the resurrection, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, 4. All those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ received a measure of the Holy Spirit, or the life of Christ came to dwell in us. We received it. This confirming exactly what the Lord Jesus himself said in John 14.
In John 14, 16 to 20, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now here's a scripture. People talk about the world receiving the Holy Spirit. The Bible says it can't. Because it saith them not, neither know them, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you in a little while, and the world saith me no more, but ye shall see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I am in you. So we are now living by the life of God in us. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? See verse 17. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This was the life of Jesus Christ, our Savior, coming back into the believers as it's today, who have been redeemed and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. You're the children of God. Isn't that right? Children of God. John the Baptist's ministry came in the spirit of Elijah to prepare the heart of the fathers under the Old Testament law of Moses to receive Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the anointed one. He's coming. He's going to be the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ, Calvary, the crucifixion, the sins of the world, and he rose again the third day. They could be born again by the Holy Spirit and become the children of God. Now I tell you, you see, people think Calvary's not important for all of them, but here's one. The Bible says Jesus preached unto those that were held captive. He preached unto them. Is that the truth? He preached unto them. And there was a resurrection. People rose from the grave. And I tell you, people say certain people won't hear the gospel. Matthew 24 says, that's one of the end time signs. One of the end time signs is the gospel get into the whole world. That's one of the signs. False prophets is one, anointed ones at the end time. False anointed, whatever way you want to word it, what the Bible says, you know the verse I'm referring to. And the gospel get into the whole world. That's the signs, brothers and sisters. And earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars. And they said peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them. Matthew 17, 12. And I say unto you, Elias, truly, Elias has come. That was John. They desired to choose. As recorded in the Bible, they beheaded John the Baptist. A load of scriptures. I don't need to read them all, but they beheaded him. Because he preached against adultery, preached the truth, they beheaded him. And who's the one got it done? A woman. A woman got it done. And just as a woman beheaded the voice of truth, hear me this morning, there's a spiritual woman today called Rome. And she wants to behead the voice of truth. And just as she brought in dancing then and all things in then, and they didn't want the truth, she brings it in now. And she doesn't want the truth. And I tell you all sorts of stuff. And let me tell you this morning as well. You'll not be allowed to be a homosexual. But if the Pope of Rome comes out and says, well, we'll give this or that for it, it'll be dead on. He'll be the one that says it. Aren't you glad we've come out of Rome?
Yes.
You say come out of Rome, exactly. Yes. Let's remember them reformers were mostly all Catholic. Most of them reformers were all Catholics. Do you good to read about it? And I'm going to miss these bits. I'm going to come to close because time's gone. I haven't good said nothing. My time's gone. Now we can clearly see. Can you see this morning John came in the spirit of Elijah? That's just the first bit to get that bit out of the way. And we're going to continue on, praise God. The Lord willing. And the Lord is willing. John came in that spirit. Now I know John didn't know miracles. The Bible says that. But the Bible says there's none greater in heaven. Think of that. Now you think of that to the contrast to the day. There's a group of people today and it's all about... I believe in miracles, don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of stuff today and the emphasis is on the wrong thing. And people are following stuff. And the Bible says God will send them strong delusions. And they may believe a lie, but we want the truth. Let's start our feet this morning. Praise God. Maybe this evening I'll try and go more to the restoration in our time. God brings us back. You think of it, brothers and sisters, this morning. I know you said, brother, you keep on harking about it, but it's the truth. The Godhead, women preaching, water baptism, original sin. Now there's four things what we know that's taught wrong. They're taught wrong. Now, I'm not saying the people's wrong. There's good people. And people believe that they're still good people. But it still doesn't make a truth. It's wrong. It's actually wrong. And you know, and I know I'm telling you, and you know it, and I maybe shouldn't mention it again, but I'm going to. You think of it, and Brother Geordie knows it. When I was at a man's house, and the voice told me the three questions I'd be asked. Godhead, water baptism, original sin. They lost you them three questions. And he showed me the man that would ask them, and I heard his voice. And the voice that told me what I'd be asked told me what to say. And I didn't argue with them. But I knew exactly what they're going to ask before they asked him. Why did God do that? Now, how can I go back on someone who knows the truth? I can't go back on it. And I'm not going back on it. No, you don't want to go back on it. You believe it. God's word's the truth. Let's bow our heads this morning. If you want prayer or anyone wants prayer, just lift your hand before the Lord this morning and we'll pray. While every head's bowed, every eye closed. You keep praying for me as well. I'm not near as bad this week as it was the other week. The other week, I tell you, I was in bad shape. I thought I was going to end up in the hospital, but the Lord touched me. The Lord definitely touched me. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you this morning for your word, for your truth. And Lord, maybe I didn't get it all together like I'd want. But I pray you'll just bless the people, Lord, and whatever truth was said, that you'll bless them and help them to know your word and your truth, and just touch hearts this morning. And lives, Lord, meet every single need in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord Jesus, as we go forward to love one another. And Lord, we're not saying other people must see what we see. But Lord, we want to see the truth and know the truth. And help us, Lord, to have love for each other and be patient. And Lord, I pray especially for those laid aside sick, you'll touch them and minister to them. Jesus Christ's name, just minister unto each and every one of them in the name of the Lord, and touch them and bless them and save them. And we pray for all our children, Father, that you'll cover them with your blood, that you'll save them and deliver them, wherever they are this morning, wherever they're at, for husbands, wives, sons and daughters, move upon them. We do ask you for the backslidden as well. You restore them, renew them, bring them back to your own self. For we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. As Brother Gary comes, and we'll be back tonight, the Lord willing, at 6, and the Lord is willing. God bless each one.
Try and sing that hymn. Come to the Saviour, make no delay, hearing his word, he has shown us the way. Joyful, joyful, will the meeting be, when from sin and harsh and care.